message tonight. And if you will, open your Bibles up to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 26. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26, and we're going to read through verse 29. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast a seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring forth and grow. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Praise God. You may be seated. We've been teaching a number of weeks on seed time and harvest. We've been talking about the sower sowing the word. And last week, I believe it was last week, we talked about seasons. Praise God. And we talked about how that in the book of beginnings, in the book of Genesis, that God placed lights in the firmaments, in the heavens. I believe it's in chapter 1 and verse 14. On the fourth day. Interesting enough, on the fourth day he created the sun and the moons, or the sun and the moon and the stars, after he'd already created light and darkness. Praise God. Well, how can it be light without the sun? I don't know. God made it that way. And so we talked about how that the light was what determined the seasons. Right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And he gave these things. Let's look over here in that there passage of scripture. We'll get into some other things here in a few minutes. But Genesis chapter 1. And verse 14. Well, not chapter 14, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and for years." So the lights were given for the seasons. The reason why we talked about that last week is because sometimes people think that time is for seasons. But it's not. That's not what it is. I said that's not what determines the seasons. The amount of light determines the seasons. Right? You ever notice in summertime it's more light? Better for growing? And the same thing's true spiritually. You see, that's why if you just determine it basically on times, people can be saved for 30 years and not grown a bit. But if they get in the Word, because see, the Bible says, the entrance of thy Word bringeth light. Right? And when they get under the light, hallelujah, that's when they start to grow. And so I made mention of this last week, that if you don't like the season you're in, bring more light into it and change the season. Praise God. Don't let time be the dictator. Because that's not what's the dictator. That's not what should determine the season you're in. But the amount of light you've got. Praise the Lord. You know, there was a season in my life when I was sick all the time. And I was dreading when cold season come around or flu season come around. That's when I first got born again. I mean, if it was coming around, I was afraid I was going to get it. And when I first got saved, it was, I knew I was just going to have to, it was going to be a battle. But see, then I got in the light. Praise God. I got to studying the word on healing, got to studying the word on divine health, got to studying the word on those things. And I meditated on it day and night. See, he meditated. He planted the seed, and day and night he went on his business. See, day and night you meditate on the word. Day and night you meditate on the word. Day and night you meditate on the word. When it's not day, you meditate on the word because it's night. When it's night, you meditate on the word because it's not day. Day and night. you meditate on the word. It doesn't mean you just sit there and stare at it all day. It means you meditate on it. You mutter it. You talk about it. You think about it. When you're walking by, you mention it. When you're talking by yourself, you start talking out loud about the word. And you bring light, right? And that begins to change the season in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you don't like the season you're in, get under the light. Praise God. Hallelujah. But notice something in our text today. It says, when the harvest had come, he put forth the sickle. Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to talk about the harvest a little bit. I just was bringing you up to speed where we were. Now we can go, you can jump back on my notes there, Aaron. Well, since you're earlier. It says this. Well, let me get back into my notes. I was in a different page. Mark 4:14, Jesus said, the sower sows the word. I like that. You want word results in your life? What do you got to do? You got to sow it. And we talked about the rain. Isaiah 55, verse 10, 11 says, for as a rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereinto I send. I love that about the word of God. It's going to do what it's set forth to do. So you continue to speak the word. You continue to stand on the word. You continue to meditate on the word. And it will do. Speak the word. Because if it came out of God's mouth, it's got to come out of your mouth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Praise God. In Genesis chapter 1, we talked about this in Genesis 1:12. It says, and the earth brought forth grass and the herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, it's interesting here that God brought forth the grass and the trees and the seeds before he brought forth the lights. How can he do that? He's God. You know, people always talk about, well, you know, when you look at the age of the earth, it's a million years old or so many millions of years old. You know, God could, in one day, make something look like it's a million years old?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I don't necessarily believe what they're saying. I believe the Word of God.
Amen.
I don't have to know exactly all the little finite details of how he did it. I just know it's so. And I can tell you it's not millions of years he's talking about here, because it says, and the day and the night was day one, or it was day two, it was day three. Praise the Lord. And he also said in Genesis chapter 8, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Seed time and harvest. I'm just bringing these things back to your remembrance here. Just bringing them back to your remembrance. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Now notice something. There's harvest. Why would you sow if you're not going to reap?
Amen.
I mean, if you're not going to reap, might as well just eat your seed.
Yeah.
Right? I eat my seed and die, praise God. No, but we know God created it to be different. Hallelujah. Seed time and harvest. We want a harvest of the Word of God. What are we going to have to do? Plant the Word of God in our life. If we want the results that the Word of God says in our lives, we have to plant the Word of God in our lives. And we have to water it. Day and night. Night and day. I know I'm saying the same thing over and over again, but it's okay. Praise God. Because God doesn't change either. He said, I'm God, I change. Not. So, our text talked about how he reaped when the harvest came. Immediately he put forth the sickle. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says this, he observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. What is he talking about? You know, there are people that won't sow because, well, you know, it's cloudy out and I just can't do this. Right? Or he that observed the clouds, I'm not going to be, it's too bad. You know, if you go over to Proverbs, it talks about how the sluggard gives all kinds of excuses. There's a lion in the street, I could die. One of my favorite ones is how he turns on the bed like a hinge on a gate. And so when you talk about these things here, what is this particular passage, how does that work? Because most people will look around their lives and say, I have nothing to give. I have nothing to sow. Everybody's got something. Because God gives seed to the sower. Hallelujah. I say God gives seed to the sower. It might be a penny, but he gives you something. And you can sow it. Now, I made mention of this last week. Kind of stirred some people up, I'm sure. But, you know, I don't pay my tithes. I tithe, but I give it to the Lord. You understand the difference? Because, see, some people, they act like God's in the mafia. You don't pay your tithes, you're going to get sick. Car's going to break down. Because some way or another, God's going to get it. Well, if my car breaks down, the mechanic gets my money. If I have to go to the doctor gets my money. So there's a little bit of error in that theology. But here's what we do. We understand that when we give that 10%, we're acknowledging that God is the source. He's my source. I don't put money in the offering plate because I have to. The Bible says don't give grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. What does that mean by that? Well, if I give grudgingly, oh, I've got to give my tithe. Guess what? You got no blessing. Right? So that's why I say I don't pay it. I willfully and gladfully bring my offerings to the storehouse. It's a different attitude of the heart. Hallelujah. See, we sow. We sow. And as we sow, God blesses, and then we reap. And we reap if we faint not. That's why we don't give up. We just keep on. Just keep on. Kind of like the story about the old farmer that had his donkey fall in the well. And he said, well, I'm too poor to rent a crane and to pull this donkey out of the well, and the well is dry anyway, so I might as well just go ahead and bury him. So the farmer got all his friends together, and they just got shovels, and they started throwing dirt in the well. And the donkey shake it off, and he'd step on it. Till finally, after several hours, he just stepped right out the well. And see, that's the way you and I need to be. We just keep on doing good, and the enemy throws dirt on us, and we just shake it off and step on it. But sooner or later, we're going to come up out of this. Amen. Why? Because I read the back of the book, and we win. Hallelujah. Praise God. We reap if we faint not. But we have to do something. I say you and I have to do something. You know, all the blessings of God, they're not just going to fall off on you. Praise God. We'll get into that in just a minute. The harvest that you and I have today is not like the harvest that we had to when we were in the world. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, for the land whither thou goest to possess it, it is not a land of Egypt from which you came out. For where thou sowest thy seed and waterest with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whithereto you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys that drinketh the water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for the eyes of the Lord are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Hallelujah. Now, we know the Bible says that those things are a type for us. The things in the Old Testament are written for our admonition. Right? You know the scripture I'm talking about? Where, so we wouldn't lust against idols and we wouldn't do other things here. But here he says something. You know, you're going to possess a land, and that land is not going to be like the land of Egypt. Now, we know that Egypt's a type of the world. And some people have thought that the Canaan land was a type of heaven, but it's not. See, in Canaan land, there was giants to fight. There were walled cities that had to come down, right? When you go to heaven, there ain't going to be no more giants to fight. There's not going to be any more lands to conquer. In fact, is that last enemy, death, is going to be conquered, put under our feet by the Lord himself. Hallelujah. So see, heaven is not, the promised land is not a type of heaven. It's a type of the life of the believer. In that you and I have been given promises, and you and I have to go in and possess those promises. Right? So that's what it is with Canaan. Now, God said beforehand, he said, this land's not going to be like it was in Egypt. I don't know about you, but I remember what it was like before I was saved. I remember what it was like when I was in the world, how hard it was to find peace. How hard it was to find joy. How miserable life was. Seemed like you're on a treadmill. In fact, that's what it's talking about there. In Egypt, they had an irrigation system, and they had to walk on like treadmills to pull water. And how many know life is like that? If you're not in Christ, man, you're just on that treadmill. Like that hamster in that wheel just keeps on going and going and going, running and never getting anywhere. Praise God. And that's the way it is in Egypt. All these people working so hard in the world. All these people struggling to make ends meet. All these people trying to get extra and have more and more. Guess what? It's going to come to naught. Hallelujah. But for you and I, friend, it's not that way. Because the Bible says that in the land of Canaan, it's a land that drinks from the waters of heaven. You see, you and I are not supposed to be toiling and tearing and pushing and trying to do things like the world does, where everything's a struggle. We're to get to the place where we're drinking from the waters of heaven, where we're under the spout where the glory comes out. And as we're there meditating on the Lord, and as we're there ministering to him, he begins to direct our paths, and he begins to stir us and to move us and to cause things to happen for us that we couldn't do in our own strength. I mean, it's a lot better over here in Canaan than it is over there in Egypt. Even on the hardest days here, it's better than it was over there. Praise God. But I have you know something, even on the hardest days here and now, it's better than the best days in hell that some people are going to experience. Amen. This is for the believer, this is the only hell you're going to know. Thank God. Amen. But the sad thing is, for the unbeliever, this is the only heaven they're going to know if they don't receive Christ as their Savior. People, good people going to die and go to hell. Nice people. Some people are all nasty people, and you think, well, you know. But there's going to be some nice people that are going to die and go to hell. And it saddens. And it saddens the Lord. Because that's not why Jesus came. We have a better covenant. It's not a laborsome, toilsome covenant. It's a covenant with blessings from the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, but now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. Aren't you glad we have a better covenant? We have a better covenant. I'm so glad. We have a better covenant. We even have a better covenant than they did in the old covenant. But guess what? If it's in the old covenant, it's in the new covenant. Right? You know, anybody gets a new car and you go over there and you say, well, my old one had cruise control. This one doesn't have cruise control, but it's better. No, it's not. The old one had cruise control. The new one doesn't. It's not better. Well, the old one had power windows, but this one here has got the hand cranks. It's better. No, it's not. The old one had heated seats. This one doesn't. It's not better. But yet people are trying to sell a better gospel that's not, they don't understand the full intent of it, that it is better. It contains the old too. Contains the promises. Hallelujah. Fact of the matter is Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, wait a minute. If I receive the promise of the Spirit by faith, the blessing of Abraham, everything that God said to Abraham belongs to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything he said about Abraham, everything he said about the blessings, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, all those blessings, you know, he said, if you be willing and obedient, you'd eat the good of the land. He said in Deuteronomy 28, he said, you'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the field. You'll be above only and not beneath. Everything you put your hand to is going to be blessed. One will chase a thousand, so forth and so on. He goes on. He lists out all these blessings in Deuteronomy 28. And all those blessings belong to you. But just because something belongs to you doesn't mean you're going to have it. Exactly. You've got to go get it. You've got to go into the promised land. See, there were things that were promised to the children of Israel they never did get. You know, Pastor has been teaching on Kadesh Barnea, the 12 spies. They go out. 10 of them come back with an evil report. We're going to die. 2 of them said, let's go possess this land at once. For our God is well able to deliver. And every last one of them got what they said. Every last one of them got exactly what they said. The 10 spies got what they said. We're going to die. The 2 faithful ones got what they said. They went in and possessed the land. Hallelujah. Just because something's promised doesn't mean something's just going to fall off on you. The same thing is true when it comes to salvation. Hebrews chapter 4 says this, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heareth them. For we which have believed do enter into the rest. As he has said, I have sworn my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works were finished, but they didn't enter into the rest. Why? Because it wasn't mixed with faith. You see, the blessings of God belong to you and me and everybody else. There's not a person on this earth that the blessing of God don't belong to. But you got to go get them. See, salvation belongs to every person. When John saw Jesus walking on the thing, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the church. The sins of the world. Praise God. Fact of the matter is, Jesus, when he was talking about judgment on Satan, he said, and of sin because they believe not on me. Think about this for just a second. When Jesus died on the cross, in God's eyes, everything that was necessary for redemption of mankind was done. When he cried out, it is finished, it was done. For every person on the planet. And every promise that belongs to you and I was paid for at that moment. Amen. The healing for your body, peace for your mind, every blessing, every word that God has, every promise that God has for you was taken care of in that time. That's why the Bible says that we were healed by his stripes. Well, if I was healed, why aren't I healed? Because you got to go get it. I say you got to get it. You got to learn how to put the sickle in and reap your harvest. Hallelujah. How are you going to do that? Well, you need to go back and remember that it drinks from the waters from heaven. You got to spend time with the Lord. Praise God. You know, not only does God want to be intimate in helping you to receive the blessings that he has for you, He doesn't just want to correct you about your sins. He wants to help you to get his promises. He's not withholding anything. God's not sitting in heaven saying, oh, look at there. Come on, reach a little higher. Oh, almost got it. Whoop. Oh, come on. Yeah, there you go. Oh, gotcha. He's not like that. The Bible says that if we, being imperfect, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to give good things to them that ask? It's God's desire, Jesus said, to give you the kingdom. So if it's God's desire to do it and he's promised me to do it, then why's the problem? We got to get in the Word. But even more so than just learning legalistic rights and privileges, we cannot begin to think that we're going to put things on autopilot and pull a lever and push a button. There has to be the relationship, the water that comes from heaven. Jesus said it this way. He said, pray our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to spend time with him. When he was tempted, he said, you're not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not only do we have to get in the written word of God, but we need to spend time with him in his presence, soaking into his anointing and allowing him to guide us in the right ways. Because there is more than one way to be healed. There's more than one way for you to prosper. And God has a roadmap for you to receive all your blessings. Hallelujah. But you're going to have to get up and get them. And most of the time, we already know where to start, but we're just too lazy to do it. Or we make excuses for why God's not moving in our lives. We got to stop that. God don't need excuses. He needs us to reach out in faith. I mean, you know, well, maybe God's not healing me because. Well, why don't you just stop? Allow yourself to get in the Word and be convinced by the Word. I tried that confession stuff. Well, there's the problem right there. You don't try. You do it or you don't. That's just like, I tried that Christianity. It just didn't work for me. You tried religion. You didn't get in a relationship with the Lord. You haven't fallen in love with a master and creator of the universe. You haven't been allowed to have a conversation with a lover of your soul. Well, don't give me that junk. You tried Christianity. I tried going to church. I've tried to go through several drive-thrus and been unsuccessful too, but you know what? It's not going to stop me. Praise the Lord. And you and I have to realize that we get into this relationship with the Lord and we get into his word and we spend time with him and we say, Lord, correct me where I'm wrong. Show me where I need to change. He might be, you know, you might be over there talking about, Lord, I thank you that you're the one who heals me. And he might say, change your words in this area. He's done it to me before. He might say, I want you to go work on this relationship with so-and-so. What's that got to do with it? God knows. Faith worketh by love. And don't get super religious where you're trying to manipulate why aren't the blessings come to my life. No, it's a relationship with the Lord. It's a walking with him. If we walk in the light, the Bible says, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen. See, when we talk about faith, it's not just about mechanics. But it's about relationship. We are to walk by faith. That means we walk with the Lord day in and day out. We walk with him and we talk with him and we spend time with him and allow him to correct us and allow him to cause us to grow in areas we need to grow. Because I believe the Word of God is true. and all the blessings are for you and for me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. You want to know what your ministry is? It's right there. Your ministry, my ministry, is the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? Well, I'm glad we got to look at this here, because here it is spelled out for us. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world into himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What does that mean? He has not imputed, he hath not held your trespasses against you. I am so glad. Because I don't know about you, but I still mess up. And he's not holding those things against me. And he's not holding those things against you. He was reconciling. He was buying back. He was paying off the debt that you owed and bringing you back into the fold. But not just you. Didn't the verse say it? Reconciling the world. Praise God. Reconciling the world. See, this is why we're in the age of grace. Because God at this point in time is saying, I'm not holding this against you. I am reconciling you. Here is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you are doomed without me. There is a debt that needs to be paid, and you have an option. If you receive Christ, all your sins will be forgiven. Everything that I have against you will be blotted away. But if you choose to act your own way and try to do your own thing, there's another story. And the Bible says this in Revelation chapter 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books, notice that phrase, the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things were written in the books according to their works. And in verse 20, verse 15, it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So see, what's going to happen is, sooner or later, there's going to be a great white throne judgment for those that have not received Christ. And notice something here. What comes in this book of Revelation? The books were brought out. What are the books? The books are everything a person has done. Hallelujah. There are books written about what we do. Glory to God. Jesus said every idle word that comes out of a man's mouth, he's going to be judged by. What's the difference between the two people? What's the difference between the church and the unsaved? The fact is that we trusted in the Lord. We receive what he did for us. That's why you want to stand on your works, go ahead and stand on your works. But for everything good you've done, you've broken one of God's laws. And the wages of sin is death. But there's another book that if your name is not in that book, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Praise the Lord. This is what the scriptures teach. Now notice something here. It says, whoever's book was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now, I want you to think about something. I wouldn't have to go to the phone book, a Wallace phone book, and look and see if Donald Trump's name is written in it. He never lived here. I wouldn't go to the phone book and find out if Oprah lived here. She never lived here. It would be senseless, right? But God looks in the book of life to see whose name's in it. Which tells me that at the cross, everybody's name was written in the book of life. Now, we get religious and say, come down to the altar and get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But really and truly, if we do it right, you understand something. The Bible says in Revelation, Jesus said, he that overcometh, his name will not be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, that same blood that seals us and washes us clean is the same blood that's going to testify against those who don't believe on him. Now, this is serious. See, that blood was shed so that every man, woman, boy, and girl could be born again and receive all the blessings of God. Everything's provided. And that's what my job is to do, is tell everybody, look, it's provided for you. You don't have to be an enemy of God. You don't have to be angry with God. You don't have to, he's not mad at you. You don't have to live this way and be bound by this stuff. You can be free. Because 2,000 years ago, on a cross called Calvary, the Son of God came and gave his life for you. And when he did that there, he took the sins that are holding you and binding you and holding you down in bondage and broke them off your life. Before you were even born, he made a way for you. And all you have to do is receive it. Amen. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess him as your Lord, and you will be saved. Amen. And for the believer, the same is true for all the blessings of God. Hallelujah. I say the blessings of God are the same way. Jesus Christ. You have to understand reconciliation. The reason why sickness was in the earth is because sin came into the earth. In fact, it is the Hebrew when God spoke to Adam and he said, you will die, dying you will die is what the Hebrew says. Which means dying spiritually, you will die physically. Praise God. So there are books being written. Even now, books are being written about believers. Praise God. Let's look over Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. See, if we understood this, it might help us to live a more holy life. Now, most people start in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before its time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord. Verse 13, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said it is vain to serve the Lord, or vain to serve God. And what profit is that he that have kept his ordinance? And we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts, and now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they feared the Lord and spoke often to one another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. Do you see that? Part of the books. I say part of the books. And like I said, Jesus said every idle word proceeds out of his mouth. Now the nice thing about for the believer is when you walk in the light, the Bible says the blood of Jesus continually cleanses from all unrighteousness. So when we're walking in the light we have, and we're following after the Lord, and we're doing what we know to do, and we're in fellowship with Him, hallelujah, then all the blood of Jesus, just it continually cleanses from all unrighteousness. So that means that when we stand before the Lord, He's going to open up the books. Because there is also a reward seat of Christ. Just as much as there's a white throne judgment, there's a reward seat of Christ, a bema seat. It's translated in Romans, the judgment seat of Christ, but it's really the bema seat, which is the reward seat, which means He'll sit down, He'll stand before Him, and we receive our blessings. Remember that? The Bible talks about that. You know what I'm talking about? It says where the fire will fall, and there will be some whose works are made out of wood, hay, and stubble, and it'll be burned up. But then there will be some that have gold and silver and precious stones, and those works will testify forever. But where do those works come from? They're written in the book. Praise God. Now, the good news is when He looks in the days of our life and He begins to read the book, and He'll start reading the book and He'll open it up and He'll say, on this day it says, there's nothing there. It's been blotted out by My blood. Hallelujah. And we'll be able to stand clean before Him. See, our sins are not remembered anymore. Praise God. But the deeds that we've done for the Lord, they'll be remembered. Praise God. Now, what does that got to do with the blessings of God? You have to go and partake it. You have to go and participate. You have to go out and get the blessings of the Lord. You have to receive them by faith. Just like the children of Israel, they need to go into Kadesh Barnea. They need to go into the promised land by faith. They need to go in. And some didn't enter in. And they didn't get it. Very few stepped in by faith and got it. Now you and I need to be like those two. Say, you know what, we're going to step into what God has for us. How did they do it? They meditated on the Word. They didn't allow their senses to dictate to them. Praise God. And that's where you and I need to learn, to stand on the Word. Because I guarantee you, your symptoms, your sensations or your senses will not always line up with the Word. You know? I passed up some marvelous opportunities this week where my situation did not line up with the Word. So what did I do? Chase it. I'm defeated. No. I went to the Lord. You're the lifter of my head. You're the one that gives me victory in every situation. And whenever He would show me things I needed to repent of or ask forgiveness of, I didn't hide it from Him. I didn't hide it. I didn't say, well, Lord, I didn't try to excuse it. I didn't No. Here it is, Lord. Every bit of it, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. But I thank You that You're the one who forgives. And You're the one who gives righteousness. And You're the one who causes me to overcome. And You give me strength to fight my battles. Hallelujah. And I refuse to allow stress to step in my life. And I refuse to say, let words come out of my mouth that are contrary to Your blessings. Hallelujah. And that's the way we need to be. We need to continue. Because you know what? That old enemy, he don't quit. He hadn't punched his time clock yet. He's still on the earth. He's looking to see who he may devour. But I've already determined he may not devour me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when the harvest was there, they put the sickle in. They put the sickle in. The one who sowed, he put the sickle in when it was done. It didn't just fall off on him. Salvation just doesn't fall on people. They got to get the gospel preached to them. And then they have to believe and receive. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession made salvation. They have to hear the gospel, believe the gospel, receive the truth of the gospel, then they're saved. Same thing is true with us. We have to get in the Word, remind ourselves of the Word, stand on the Word, right? And we'll see those things come to pass. If you don't like the season you're in, put a little more light on it. Right? And we'll talk more, because I really want to get to where I'm sharing with you some rules of reaping, but just haven't seemed to got there yet. We'll get there. Because there's things that you and I can do to reap a harvest. Praise God. And it seems to me like God's people have come to a place where they've forgotten how to reap the harvest in their life. And the blessings are sitting out there waiting for them. I said the blessings are sitting there waiting for them. The good news is it's not like the world where the fruit dies if you don't go pick it. Because we have a better covenant. Our harvest doesn't just rot on the vine. Praise God. So we got to learn how to go in there and get that harvest. So soon I'm going to share with you some rules of reaping your harvest. Praise God. As soon as it's the good time. Because there's things that you and I can do to reap what God has for us. There's things that we do that accelerate our reaping. Praise God. And there's things that we do that hinder our reaping process. The biggest problem is right under our nose. Sometimes we need to say, you know what? I just lock this thing up and throw away the key. Praise God. But I will encourage you, sow the word into your life. And if you need a blessing, sow financially into the church or into God through the church or through the pastor. That was a weak amen. See, when you sow natural things, you reap spiritual things. If you need a harvest in your life, sow. Well, I don't have anything. Yes, you do. You got something. It might be just a little handwritten note. Pastor, I'm praying for you. Love you. Thinking about you. Sow a little time. But you got something. And when you need it the most, you sow it, you will reap. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So sow. Get in the word. Let the water rinse over your seed. Get in the light of the word and let it cause your seed to grow. And we'll talk about reaping your harvest at the next time. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I just want to thank you that there are books written that when we give to you, when we sow, when we do those things, you keep track of that stuff. Because you said you hasten to your word to perform it. You watch over it. We don't have to be worried about it. We don't have to be concerned. We don't have to be stressed. We can relax and refresh and rest in you. Father, we thank you. Lord, we know that there are people that are dying around us and they're not receiving from you. They're not receiving salvation. That very precious gift, Lord, that you provided on Calvary. Your own life's blood being poured out so that we could be redeemed. Lord, maybe we haven't been the best examples. Maybe we haven't sharpened up our skills enough in sharing the gospel. You know every facet of our lives. And Lord, we lay them open before you right now to search us and to show us where we're not like-minded with you. Lord, we want to be pleasing to you. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But even more so, Lord, we want to walk with you. There's no greater privilege, Lord, than walking with you and talking with you and having you commune with us. It's a privilege to be used by you. Because, Lord, we know it brings you great joy when the lost repent and become saved. Help us to remember, Lord. Help us to remember.
And Lord, as we continue to meditate on the word, and as we continue to sow these seeds, and as we continue to pour out into our lives from the word, as you pour into us, Lord, help us to pour out unto others. And show us, teach us, Lord, how to reap our harvest. I know there's things that people have sowed years and years and years, and there is such a great harvest here. There's harvest upon harvest for this church. Harvest upon harvest for the people that have given you everything from their heart. Help us to see, to recognize, and to reap our harvest. Not so that we'd be glorified, but so that we can build the kingdom. See lives changed. Because Lord, ultimately, if it was all about us, we could just go to heaven and be with you. But we want to bring people with us. We want to bring in the harvest. Help us to be good ministers of reconciliation. Hear me now, flu. You'll not get the victory in this church. You'll not get the victory over these people. You listen to me. The word of God says that he himself bore our sickness and carried our infirmities, and with his stripes we were healed. Now you bow your knee to the name of Jesus. And you leave right now. Now, angels of God, you are sent to minister for the heirs of salvation. And I dispatch you in the name of Jesus to go forth and minister healing and health and recovery to God's people. Right now. Healing is flowing from the throne. Even in this room, healing is flowing. Right now. That's it. Right now. Lo se prosta. Jesu da maharese. E presufranas. Je ingusolos. Prenstalas. Ye uncrasta. Resufrate. Jesu midis da ma. Bon salas. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for revival. Thank you for moving in our midst. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you. Thank you for moving in our midst. Thank you for gifts of the Spirit in operation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, yes, working of miracles, gifts of healings, special faith, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, tongues and interpretation of tongues. Yes, freely flowing, freely flowing, freely flowing, freely flowing from your very throne into this place, out into the streets, into the highways and the hedges, mending up the brokenhearted, healing the sick, freeing the captives. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing that breaks the yoke, that destroys every bondage. This is our year. This is our time. We are in revival, and we will see the very glory of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now is the accepted time. Now is the accepted time. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, we magnify you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our Savior, our Master, our King, our friend, the lover of our soul. Jesus, you are wonderful. You are awesome in this place. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, as your people go, I want to thank you for watching over them, for protecting them, and for bringing them back safe at the next appointed hour. Thank you for stirring our hearts on the truth. Thank you for helping us to stay in line with your word. Thank you for loving us so much that you're not leaving us the same. Thank you, Father. Oh, we praise you and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Well,